Welcome to Star Party, an astrology and tarot podcast that serves up both soulful evolution and bedazzled celebration. I'm astrologer and hypnotist Sandy Citron.
And I'm astrologer and tarot reader Bess Matassa. We're so glad you're here. Let's get the party started.
Welcome, listeners. It's me, Sandy, and we are going to crab walk over to our topic today, which is protection.
We're sidling.
We're getting out our little claws, and we're going to pinch.
Oh, yeah. Get on in there into the shells for a full celebration. I don't know if you know this, Sandy, but years ago, it was my one dedicated goal to try to get the word celebration in print in a book, and and I achieved my goal. It got past a bunch of editors. They questioned it, but it finally triumphed, and celebration is in print in one of my astrology books.
You are a visionary. You are blazing a trail like a true Aries.
Yeah.
My
work is done.
Yeah. You know, just the idea of like having a big shell that you can just cozy into. And, you know, like, I want to see a picture. Someone's probably designed like a bed or like a reading nook that's in the shape of like a shell. Someone's done this, right?
I actually have looked at a lot of them because I became kind of obsessed a few years ago with like beds and interior spaces that were shaped like shells.
Okay, this is a thing. Good. Thank God.
It's a vibrant community of makers and creators who are crafting celebratory spaces, interiors, for sure.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. Well, this will be a new, I don't know if I really want one. I'm a little more stark than that.
I'm a little more Liberace in my aesthetic. So I'm ready for a celebratory interior. But I think it really connects to our Cancerian energy, because I think sometimes we forget that Cancer, you know, it's both about protection, it's about sheltering, but it's also quite loony. So there's a party going on in there in that shell. There's all sorts of wild visions and emotions and flowing feelings. So it is a true celebration.
Loony lunation.
There's that.
And then also, like, we forget the cancer season. Like, it's managerial too. Like, you're getting a lot done in that little shell.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there's resting happening, but I think, you know, it's an initiating sign. Like, Cancer likes to make things happen too. So
yeah,
all about the spaces in which to play, party, do, and sleep.
Now you're making me think of two different things. One is the connection to the Chariot card, because Cancer, you know, rules the Chariot card is ruled by the Chariot card. And sometimes people, I think, have a hard time figuring that one out, you know, because there is like a shell shedding meaning to that card. But there's also this feeling of like, you know, and a kind of initiatory feeling that sometimes we forget about with Cancer. But now I'm also thinking about, and maybe I've talked about it on this podcast before, so stop me if I have, but you're inciting this traumatic childhood memory of mine. not like super trauma, but playful trauma, where I got, you know, hermit crabs on like the boardwalk in Jersey or whatever. And I got my, you know, my annual hermit crab from the boardwalk and brought it home and was like playing with the hermit crab in the backyard. And it like escaped. I don't know if I turned around or something, and it must have climbed up like a drain pipe and disappeared. And I, for years, I was like anticipating the return of this hermit crab, like giant, you know, like maybe it would come back and it was like the size of the house.
What?
But it totally disappeared.
Wow.
Yeah.
You told this story. I rarely remember anything. I have the worst
memory. You remember
this
story though?
I do remember this because I was so mystified that you could get a hermit crab on the boardwalk. Like, I did not know this.
No? Oh, yeah. I guess you didn't grow up on the ocean or like on the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. I'm a freshwater gal.
Yeah.
So, but I love this twist where like the crab just kept growing and like behind, like where did it achieve this great size? You know, where was it doing all of this?
And I think the other part of it was that the hermit crab that escaped was without the shell. Like they were moving shells. So they escaped in their nakedness. So they were on the hunt for new protection, but we don't know if they ever found it.
That makes me so sad. It was all exposed out there.
It was up the drain pipe, or maybe the drain pipe itself became the new shell and it was just lived its whole life in there.
Wow. Now that I'm in this like early stage of motherhood, like the idea of anything out like exposed in the world gives me this like deep visceral like emotional pain. Like I just have such a strong protective instinct right now. It's really intense.
Wow. Yeah. This is like a timely topic then.
I guess so. I didn't even think about that.
Amazing. Well, I'll share some initial thoughts if the hermit crabs weren't enough for listeners. I had a kind of a weird time with this one because I think when I kind of came into this topic, I was really thinking about a certain flavor of softness, I think, with protection, like a tenderness or a, you know, protecting as a kind of guarding of a tenderness. And I started to think like, maybe I have nothing to say about this topic because I feel like that has been an experience or an impulse that really I haven't explored enough in my life. And maybe it's like, you know, kind of Leo Moon problems, like overexposure. But then when I started to feel into it a little bit more deeply, I got some other angles on it that I think helped me consider it. And I think one of them was like, firstly, that's not really true of my life. I think that there have been moments where there's been a necessary, it's been more of a growing edge, but there's been a necessary kind of protecting of a softness. And I think, you know, I talked on our Virgo devotion episode last year about, you know, my experience of like having my head covered for the year and losing my hair and that stuff. And that was kind of like a tuck-in, I think, moment for me where I started to learn about that kind of protecting softness or tenderness in a different way. But I've been feeling into a lot of kind of the energy around almost what I've been calling like moon sign carrying cases, like kind of imagining your moon sign as if it had a little knapsack or a little carrying shell that you like transported it like in. And what would that look like? And saying, okay, well, if we think about moon and Leo, maybe there isn't one, you know, or maybe it's sort of, you know, it's more transparent. It's one of those like see-through backpacks or something like that. And then if you look at like the moon sign carrying case of like a moon in Capricorn, might be pretty intricately bound, you know, a little bit textured, almost like a geode or something. And I don't know, I've just been exploring all of these ways in which on the surface, I was thinking that there was only one way to kind of carry and hold, but there's all of these different flavors of doing that. And also like the idea that maybe when I was first thinking about this topic, I was thinking a lot about defense, like guarding against the entry of something. And so I was thinking like, I don't really know much about that, or, you know, maybe that's not as resonant. But then I started to really think about the idea of protection as a keeping, as like a holding and defending, like much more kind of, I don't know, kind of an act of like warriorship, an act of like holding what you know to be true in veneration or in valuation in some way. So that's kind of where I landed. It was kind of like going from what I thought was a very back room kind of certain iteration of softness to looking also at the range that includes like protect and defend, like the front lines kind of work too, that we need all of those expressions of protection.
Right. I had like, when you first posited this idea of like, let's do protection, my first instinct was like, no. That's too like on the heel, like, you know, of like this defensive kind of stance. And I didn't want like Cancer sun signs to be like offended of like the other signs get these like cool outward, you know, channeling or like whatever, like these like fun, like, oh, I'm out interacting with the world and like I'm just Cancer sun sign here hiding and protecting myself. Then, of course, I remembered, but it's not about you, Cancer sun signs. Like this episode, of course, we're responding to and playing with the whole archetype of Cancer itself, which is the season of Cancer. And yes, it will have jewels and gems for Cancer sun signs too, but we're not saying like, oh, Cancer sun signs, all you do is protect yourself at all. So that was like my first reaction. And then kind of I started to get into like this feeling of protection, kind of the way you're talking about, is being like so much more than just a response.
Right.
Of being like, you know, a sense of like building in a way, or building out your kind of like your world. And then I started to think about how protection is so big in everything that we do. Like, it's this huge topic. It's like beyond huge, because every time we try to take a breath, we're also protecting. Like, there's every time we're like acting, we're also protecting, or else we would die. You know? Yeah. we'll get into like more of my ideas, but I was actually curious. Will you talk a little bit more about this protecting of the soft thing? Like the soft, like just, I like feel like I'm almost there with what you mean, but I just want a little more to play off of.
Yeah. So I think what I was initially thinking maybe was along the lines of more of your response.
Yeah.
You know, like the kind of guarding against iteration of protection. Yeah. And so when I think about the guarding against, I think of something that needs guarding, you know, because right. maybe on some level we feel that if we don't guard it, it's going to be lost, or it's going to be stolen, or someone's going to, you know, mess with it inalterably. And so I was thinking about that as kind of the matter, maybe, and softness maybe isn't really even the word. It's maybe the matter that, this is maybe getting kind of heady, but I'm thinking like there's both like one level whereby everything needs protecting, and like protecting is this huge, we're drawing this huge circle around all of life. And then this other level where maybe we say, if something needs protecting in the definition of guarding against, then maybe it's not that it's not strong, like, strong enough, but there's some inner work I think to do around the things that we think are like up for grabs, like that other people even have the right to access, you know, because if it's like a defensive posturing around that, maybe there's something to explore around why you think that's going to get stolen. And it's actually calling to mind now the relationship of Scorpio to this topic, you know, and the idea of like, wow, there's one level where, yeah, we can think about like protection as almost this celebration of sanctifying a space and marking out what's meaningful. But then sometimes we get into like the weeds with it a little bit, where we're in that guarding against mode, not out of the sanctification, but out of the feeling that something is even up to be stolen or taken. And like, obviously, like we want to also say like, you know, I mean, with every topic, but with this topic, I think in particular, there's one level of this conversation whereby we're not all equally positioned to be like, some of us are naturally more exposed to harm than others. And I think that's not what we're talking about here. I think we're talking about the acts that we have access to acting upon, you know? But yeah, I don't know if that clarifies what you're.
Absolutely. It's interesting. It makes me think of something I hadn't considered before sitting down with you, but this is actually kind of a subconscious thing I've been doing lately, for better or for worse, but I've been like viscerally like trying to practice like not protecting. Like I don't know, I think I've been responding to like some family members feeling like they have to protect everything so much, you know. So my like, it's definitely a response that I've been having, just like almost, you know, defensively in my own way, where I'm like, I don't need to protect anything. I don't need to lock my door. or like kind of just feeling like there is a point where, and this is my opinion, and it's like coming, you know, it's very much based on circumstances that I'm currently living, you know, so it's like, maybe I would change this opinion. I don't know if it's like good opinion to share or not, but I'm kind of like, I just feel like we protect ourselves a little too much right now in our society. That's my own kind of thing where I like play with it, or I like play with like not trying not to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that that could change on a dime, you know,
like, yeah,
depending on what was going on. But
it's making me think, like, when you're speaking, I don't know, I had this like mini epiphany, and again, we don't want to make best in therapy, any therapy session, but you know, I think it's useful in thinking about different kinds of moon signs, for example, in that example of like the carrying cases. But you know, it's no secret, obviously, I've had like a deep leonine life, you know, both through my chart, my numerology, all this stuff. And it's kind of making me think that, like, you know, maybe my protection is exposure. It's like, like, I don't know. That's like, that sounds like one of these statements.
No,
it's
I
just
totally
like this
get
throwaway
it.
Thing. But like, I do find in my life that the more I come into life unguarded, the safer I actually feel.
Yeah.
Like, and I think we all have different, you know, looking into our moon sign just as like a point of entry, maybe into this conversation, like thinking about that little carrying, that little knapsack or that little covering, like, I don't know, we're differently positioned around that question. And maybe it's like that the fire energy in the moon has, you know, like more to do with that exposure and finding safety and exposure. I don't
That's
know.
Interesting. Well, there is something like we're being like confident in certain ways. Confidence like translates to like with trust, you know, like when you're being confident, like you can trust yourself and then you can trust that you'll respond in any situation, you know? And so maybe you're not safe, but the confidence kind of carries you because you're trusting that you'll know how to respond.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Something about that.
Yeah, I feel like there's something like around the word, and now it's making me think about the strength card in this conversation too, but like the disarmament, the idea of disarming, you know, and like, I don't know, we all have different relationships to that. And some of us, I think, are in lifetimes where that's not the call necessarily, you know,
right.
It's about, you know, Queen of Swords energy or some other iteration of like being able to fortify in a way that's protected or to fortress a little bit more. But that's not been my lifetime. It's been a lifetime of disarmament, whether I freaking like it or not. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. This topic is much richer than I realized.
Me
initially.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So is it snack time or you want to?
Yeah, let's do some thoughts? Snacks. We better, right. We better get to eating.
Yeah, we better get to eating. My stomach is rumbling as always. Just burning through, metabolizing the conversation. So I already kind of gave a little sneak peek into where I started, which was the moon. You know, I did think about this idea of both the moon as you know, a kind of, I don't want to say the word defensive, but as a guarded or a more tender place in us that we're, you know, that describes a little bit of the skin between us and life. But also the moon as in some ways, like, I don't want to say like the strongest value center in us, but there's something about the moon connected to the nature, connected to like the essence that feels very, I don't know, just like it's the thing that on some level we know to be truest, at least about ourselves on some level. And we're kind of grappling with how we expose that or how we carry that through the world. But when I started, I have kind of two mini snacks. And what I started to really connect with firstly was the idea of the moon's relationship to Saturn. You know, I was thinking a lot about the Cancer Capricorn axis, and I was thinking about also starting to feel into this idea of protecting as kind of a more, I don't want to say courageous act, but a more activated sort of stance. And I started to really feel into the cardinal signs for this one. You know, I was thinking about the cardinal signs being sort of at the edge of existence. Like the cardinal signs step out in their element in the wheel of the year. So they give us the entry point into that element. And they step out, not from nothing, obviously, because they're building on the previous signs, but there's something about being at the edge of existence and this kind of more active stance of protection or sanctifying. And almost like this feeling that cardinal energy, not that it has to prove something, but in some ways it's an energy that's asserting that that element is real. that it exists, you know? And so there's something about being kind of on the front lines with that energy. But anyway, the first snack is connected to the relationship between Saturn and the moon. And this might be kind of heady, but I had this vision of the moon, you know, first doing this exercise with your moon sign where you explore what this casing or skin, you know, that surrounds your particular moon looks like. You know, how transparent is it? How fortified is it? How spiky or soft? And, you know, doing some work around relaxing into whatever that covering is and knowing that there's 12 coverings and more, of course, but like, you know, that there's many ways in which our heart space or our tender space, whatever you want to call it, is wrapped, you know, is kind of wrapped. And then starting to put that in your chart in relationship to Saturn. And I was thinking a lot about it with regard to house for some reason, maybe more than sign, but I think you can play with it both ways. But almost as if you took your moon sign and you put it, you like keepsaked it in the vault of wherever your Saturn is in the house. It's almost like Saturn as this larger kind of Capricorn infused protectress energy is going to take your moon in, is going to like provide it with some refuge. And we're going to put your moon in that realm. So you think about like the casing of your moon, and then you think about what it would be like to check it into the hotel of the house of Saturn. And I was thinking about this, I think a lot connected to what that polarity looks like around the stances that we take that feel really exuberant and good and on the side of like keeping, I want to keep this, you know, for myself. And then those kind of more tender sheltering moments. And I don't know, I'm still kind of working through it, but just as sort of an opening exercise, maybe to imagine almost like giving your moon over, you know, because the moon is inherently going to be tenderized, I think, in all of us. It's going to be connected to the emotional flux of us, and to give it some sort of container, you know, in the sense of putting it in Saturn's house. And it may be that you have Saturn in a watery house, so the container ends up being watery or fiery and it's even more exposed, but sort of playing with that double layering almost. Sandy, what do you, if you don't mind chiming in,
I would love to. I love talking Saturn. About myself.
Yeah. Does this make sense what I'm saying? I'm not even sure that
absolutely.
It makes sense.
But I think it's really cool. It's like, well, a lot of ideas about it, but like, one idea of being like the moon being so close to Earth, and in traditional astrology and, you know, in astronomy, Saturn is the furthest away planet that you can see with the naked eye. So in traditional astrology, it was the final planet, you know, the furthest away planet, because they didn't have telescopes yet. So, so there's like this cold, and like, you know, the moon isn't technically like warm, so to speak, but it's like there's a closeness and then kind of a coldness with both of those. So it's interesting to see them together. But my moon and Saturn are only 9 degrees apart from each other.
Right.
So they are in the same house.
Oh, shit.
And they are cozying up in a way, you know, for better or for worse in my chart.
Yeah.
While you were talking, I was trying to get like a visual image of like what that would be like for me. And it could be fatigue because I'm a little tired, I didn't get an image of like a vessel or a sack or a satchel, but instead I got this image of, you know, when a dandelion dies and then it becomes like a seed pod, and then you blow the seeds and then they scatter, which like the death part of this dandelion would to me be Saturn, but then the seeds would be like the moon, and it kind of looks like a little moon. And they're both in the 10th house for me. So there's a sense of like scattering and like spreading and like, you know, moving, like kind of, I don't know, kind of taking the wind and going into like, I don't know. It's not totally 10th house symbolism.
It's making me think, I don't know. I don't want to like read your whatever.
Yeah, read me.
I was thinking about like what you said earlier about like with your family and your current circumstances and just like not protecting anything anymore.
Yeah.
And there's something about maybe that relationship, having your moon and Saturn so close, you know, basically like up on the midheaven or in the 10th house, Yeah. Like that point of saturation where it feels like in some ways that's the pinnacle of like needing to protect and defend in a way that feels very assertive, like, or very public facing. And maybe like the gesture is actually that those two like create such combustible energy with them that they almost cancel that out. Like maybe that it's actually like, it's the deep authority, you know, 10th house Capricorn sensation of trusting so deeply, you know, almost that puts me in the mind of Capricorn and Scorpio together, you know, like that connection that both of those signs have to like the unbreakable part of me, like the bone, the center of the rock, the magma, the whatever that core is, that there's something maybe in your lifetime around like not having to adopt the posture of protection, but instead leaning into the trust of the unbreakable bit on some level. I don't know.
That is such a beautiful interpretation. Thank you. That's like such a like amazing interpretation for Moon conjunct Saturn, you know, which most people would be like, oh, good luck.
Oh man, you know? Good fucking luck.
It's also making me think I was once for a full 9 months, the manager of a new restaurant that I opened with, you know, the owner, and the owner is a Cancer man who's a Cancer. And I, you know, was working for him. So kind of taking his ideas into the world in this restaurant. And both of us were like, sure that this restaurant, we should not have like security cameras. We should not have like any kind of extra, like this is in New York City, you know, like, we needed no locks on the doors, really, like keep it open all the time. And like, you know, maybe like we didn't have a gate to pull down over these like big glass windows, you know, like it was just fully exposed. But he and I, we both, you know, we're both like, yeah, this is how you should do it. You know, you should just, it's like in your own being, you're fine. And then just, you know, sure, take the cash out of the drawer at the end of the night, but like, we're here. And I think both of us in our minds thought like just the posture of like trusting was, and of course it was his, you know, really it was his money on the line. It wasn't mine, but you know, if something got broken into, but like, yeah, there, I wonder if that's because we both are cardinal signs. So I'm kind of going back to your cardinal snack here of being like, no, we just have to like bring it forward. And then that in and of itself is protecting.
Yeah.
That idea, that feeling of it. It's enough protection.
That's interesting. You know, my second snack, and maybe this sort of amplifies that energy, or it's sort of like it's like a double dip cone here, is to feel into the four cardinal signs in your chart. And I was thinking about it specifically with the angles, with the four angles. Mm. Maybe that's the point of entry, or maybe the point of entry is to look, you know, to the houses that are ruled by the cardinal, the four cardinal signs, or, you know, some way that you can kind of connect with Aries, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn in the chart and almost imagine that that's the circle. Like that's the, those four figures, those four energies are the ones that are sort of surrounding, that are on kind of the front line, on sort of the lookout. And what would it mean? And I think it maybe it works best with looking at the chart angles and just looking at what the signs are, what those four signs are. And I think, you know, we got some good practice with this sort of approach. I think when you were snacking last time, Sandy, when you were talking about walking, or maybe it was the time before, talking about planets walking with people, you know, that like almost imagining what those four signs are on your rising, descending, you know, IC, MC, and imagining those four surrounding you, you know, and maybe they're not in cardinal signs, you know, it could be that they're four fixed or four mutable, what have you, but I don't know. There's something about like these being sort of the guardians of you in this lifetime, these four angles. And I haven't quite worked out how that, you know, how that is, but just to sort of put that kind of visual out there to people.
I love that. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cardinal signs. Who knew? You know,
who knew?
Who knew? Yeah. I guess it makes sense. Like if we're talking about Cancer and protection, like, I don't know why it like blew my mind initially to be like, it's cardinal energy. Like that's what I'm going to talk about. Cause of course, you know, Cancer is a cardinal sign, but I think I sometimes like, you know, I get really, maybe drawn more into like talking about fixed or mutable energy, maybe because I have less of it, you know, and like I kind of leave the cardinal kids behind. But yeah, I think that they're a vital part of this conversation. So That's my snack time for the Astros.
No, I like that you went there because, you know, the Aries Ram, the Cancer Crab, Libra, like being the scales, but like I kind of get the sense of like Libra, like buddies up, and that in and of itself is like kind of protection. And then Capricorn kind of builds the house that then will protect you. I wouldn't have thought of it. I usually think of like Cancer and Scorpio both having these like exoskeletons,
right,
you know, that is kind of this own built-in protection. My snack was the 12th house, actually.
Oh,
so it was interesting. Which is
where my Saturn
is. Yeah.
Amazing.
And I was thinking about the 12th house because I was thinking about how we protect ourselves on a psychological level and like how so much of our behaviors kind of do stem from like our protective instincts. And I'm mostly talking about the behaviors that cause us some trouble. The behaviors that aren't so comfortable, that we all have different ones, you know, that we tend to lean on, that, you know, for, you know, there's a spectrum where some people might have more or less, or some people might lean on like kind of, you could say maybe compulsive or habitual behaviors. But usually I think these stem from like ways that we've decided that we're going to protect ourselves. You know, so I don't need to list all the challenging behaviors that we may do. I think
sure,
we can all think
a,
of like one or
couple.
Two that we have, you know, like habitual type things. Maybe they're ways that we like tend to talk to other people, you know, or maybe they're ways that we tend to act, you know, or ways that we tend to like move through the world. I don't know. For me, like most of my like behaviors that I've worked on changing through my life are like, do you live in the compulsive category of things, you know, where I have just have a lot of behaviors that I work with that are very compulsive. And that's, you know, part of how my brain has developed. But yeah, I think, so I was thinking about just like, okay, so let's go like real psychological, which I am not a psychologist. I have very little experience in any of the things I'm talking about here. This is all for entertainment purposes only. Like, you know, this is just, you know, I'm sure I'm going to like offend myself and a lot of other people.
Offend myself. I love when I offend myself.
Later,
I don't
know, you
know,
I listen to it later and I'm like, wow, I really said that, you know, but whatever. Yeah. Can't win them all.
We're unprotected. We're unguarded.
Yeah.
Uncut, unedited.
But so I was thinking about the 12th house, which is where like a lot of the unconscious, you know, it's the realm of the subconscious. It's the realm of like the ways that we just move through the world habitually. And so it can be a place of fears, of old fears, and fears come from, you know, feelings that we need to be more protected, or that we are exposed, or that we're not safe, you know? So I was just thinking about for myself, like, cause that's my reference, like today. Right. So I was like, well, I woke up at 2 a.m. Skip those next 6 hours where I was just singing to my daughter, trying to get her to sleep. you know, but then like I left the house to come like do this podcast recording. And like, I was just trying to think like, how did I protect myself today? Like where did I feel like, you know, it's only 11 a.m. for me. So like, not been a long day so far. So like, where have I been protecting myself at all today? Like where and how? And I realized like, okay, I walked one block to get to the co-working space. Great. On that one block walk, I felt like really insecure about my body. And I felt like I had to like keep pulling my shirt down over my butt to like cover myself up, you know, like, cause I'm wearing leggings. And like, I was like protecting myself, like on a one block walk, you know, like what
cover
is that about?
Up.
Cover it up, you know, like, but I didn't notice I was doing it until I sat down and thought like, okay, well, how have I protected myself today? You know, so there's that. And then I think that another way I've learned to protect myself is like, I smile at everyone and I say hi, you know, and that's like wouldn't necessarily, maybe that's a very Libra moon way of protecting, like going back to your moon signs. But I do, you know, I like to smile, but I think I do, like, in the era of wearing masks, I realized like I smile a lot more than I kind of always want to.
Yeah.
Even though I enjoy it. Like once I start smiling, I'm happy I'm doing it, you know. But it is also protective. So it's like even in just this one block walk into like this from one space to another, there are all these ways I was protecting myself. I was like, oh my God, how much energy am I using every day? Like on a psychological level, just protecting myself from things that don't need to be protected, you know, like who cares if my shirt's covering my butt? Nobody cares.
Like, yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I want to see that butt, baby. Expose
right?
it.
You know, put it out there.
Put out your butts. That's the subtitle for this
yeah,
episode.
So this, but it does feel very 12th house, right? Like, it's like, this is subconscious. Like, I do these things subconsciously. Like, I am not, like, this is not conscious, and it wouldn't have been conscious if I hadn't sat down to talk about it today, right? So it just made me want to say, you know, ask yourself, everyone, how am I protecting myself today? Like, and see what comes through. You know, maybe there's something that might want to come to light, but maybe it doesn't. That's okay. Like the subconscious stuff doesn't need always to come to the light. Like it's maybe not ready. But
oh
you could
God.
Look, you know, we could go deeper with the astrology of it and be like, okay, well, what planets do you have in the 12th house? You know, how do those, you know, I have Mars conjunct Uranus in the 12th. So like, you know, I know that throughout my life, I have been like more on edge. Something's coming for me. It's going to surprise me. It's going to take me out of the blue, right? What do you think about your Saturn in the 12th?
I am like, I just have to say that what you're saying about the 12th house right now is blowing my fucking mind on so many levels. And I feel like I have to gather myself because I have like so many thoughts about this. The first thing, just on like a visceral level, when you're talking about your walk to the co-working space, you know, I'm starting to realize, and I think, you know, sometimes I bury this, but, you know, I have this idea about myself that I'm like, you know, exposed and out there and whatever. But like, if I really look at a micro level, like a mm-hmm. micro managerial level, like you're talking about these very subtle, you know, kind of postures that we adopt.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm like rife with them, you know, like, and like, you know, whoa. And what is the line? I think for me, it's always been like, what is the line between one of those postures that's actually like celebratory? Like I think about something like I've worn pink or red or some shade of magenta lipstick every single day of my life, except for a year during my Saturn return since I was 14 years old.
Whoa.
And during the Saturn return, I had to lose the lipstick to like re-choose it basically.
Wow.
But you know, I'm thinking about like the line between that small, like micro gesture, but like, what's the line between this being a celebratory part of my essence, you know, and sharing and being something that covers part of my face or like, you know, like alters mm-hmm. part of my face. I don't know. So I was thinking about all the micro stuff as a way to sort of like, I don't know, an entry into that. And then I was also thinking about this idea that I've always had about the 8th house and the 12th house. Like the 8th house, you know, being the Scorpio ruled house, being the kind of less conscious sort of psychological mechanisms, but the ones that were being asked to kind of like draw really consciously to the surface, or mm-hmm. not even being asked to, but like are just going to be drawn to the surface sort of inevitably, versus the 12th house buried even deeper. And like my attitude toward the 12th house on some level has always been to like get good with your ghosts in terms of not trying to do the 12th house planets because they're just going to do you on some level. How do you get comfortable with being possessed on some level? But now I'm also thinking about like what it means to adopt some sort of consciousness in that relationship. And I'm thinking specifically, I not only have Saturn there, but I also have Pluto. And Pluto in the 12th has basically run my entire life. Ran the whole first part of my life, like pretty non-consciously. And oh God, I just had this thought about it when you were speaking, connected to a certain kind of flex. I mean, there's so many different ways in which it operates, but if I look at it on a non-conscious level, some of that has been about a certain flex, like a certain mm-hmm. Flex of power or a certain flex of like the dramatics of my life and the intensity. Like, and I didn't always know that this was operating, but like having all of these dramatic, intense, sometimes violent experiences in my early life and kind of like being a little bit of a shock jock about that, like with all my Aries stuff too, opposing Pluto and being like, what? Like, here's my life. Here's my story. Like, you know, like that kind of posture versus what's happening in the second half of my life, which I think is about a kind of unguarded relationship with Pluto, where it first started out as letting kind of Pluto possess me in moments and just realizing these really strong kind of themes around power and powerlessness or, you know, different themes. But now I'm wondering too, if it isn't about like a kind of recognition of, I don't know what it is, but like that kind of unguarded, like, could I have an unguarded relationship with Pluto whereby, I don't know, I don't want to say I'm seeing myself as more powerful now, but like knowing that things are of import and are of value and like seeing things I'm creating or making as like objects of potential power and like being really more considered and kind of softer around what that looks like. I don't know. I'm going to need to like go down this whole like rabbit hole office recording and like deal with my Pluto shit. But like you're just like blowing my mind right now about this, the compulsive aspect of those planets in the 12th versus the kind of unguarded relationship one might have with them. Like,
yeah, I like that. Like, what happens when we don't have to guard it anymore? Like, I also have Scorpio on the 12th house cusp. So it's similar, you know, themes, Scorpio being ruled by Pluto of like, oh man, Pluto's such a doozy. It's like hard for me to even, well, of course it's hard for me to wrap my head around it since Scorpio's the house of the unconscious. But it's like, wow, what if, well, I'm going to save anything else I have to save for my hypnosis snack. Cause I think the place to go with this is hypnosis. Like a lot. I mean, this is why I love hypnosis. Cause like, let's just go talk right to the subconscious then. So we'll do that.
Oh, I am excited. My Pluto on the 12th, my Saturn are going to get cleansed, going to get power washed. So I'm going to bop over to my tarot snack without further ado. And the place where I landed was the twos in the tarot. So the Two of Wands, Two of Pentacles, Two of Swords, and Two of Cups. And I think there's a natural relationship sort of on the nose between this topic and the twos, because if we look at any of the minor arcana, we can look, I think, to a certain degree to their parent card in the major arcana, which the number two card in the majors is the High Priestess, which is ruled by the moon, which of course has a natural relationship to this topic, to Cancer energy, all of it. And the twos are funny. I think I've been playing a lot more with the tarot lately in terms of looking at the groupings numerologically. And, you know, my meanings, of course, like our meanings of cards, our relationships to cards are always changing, but I'm seeing more and more the four numbers as kind of units and exploring different potential meanings of those cards through thinking about them together in that way. And if I think about the twos, and I think about the High Priestess, there's a kind of like listening room that happens in that card. There's these two pillars. We drop down in between it. There's a certain sanctification of the space. And I think that's something that I really started to feel into with this topic, you know, because I used to like read all of these, you know, wellness and spiritual mystical things that would talk about like sanctifying or creating a circle of protection or all this stuff. And I'd be like, what the hell is this garbage? Like, who needs that? Like, what are they talking about? And now I'm realizing
you, Bess.
And now I'm like realizing more and more like kind of the value of like, you know, having a moment where you kind of set your house in order, you know, metaphorically speaking, or sort of mark a space around yourself, you know, to begin something, to sanctify it. And the twos for me connected to the High Priestess are really about that kind of sanctification. And to me, it loops back to cardinal energy as well with, you know, if we look at some systems of understanding the tarot, different cards in the minor arcana relate to different signs, and the 2, 3, and 4 of every suit relate to the cardinal sign of their element. So the Two of Wands is connected to Aries, Two of Pentacles to Capricorn, the Two of Cups to Cancer, and the Two of Swords to Libra. And so I was thinking about that idea of this topic of protection And the cardinal signs asserting that the element is real, asserting that this really exists, this has a right to kind of exist in the world, and looking at these four number two cards in that light, you know, and you can pull those out and maybe do a poll for yourself around this, or, you know, just sort of muse on the cards. And so I was thinking about the Two of Wands. A lot of times traditional interprets of this card are associated with like taking an action, making a move. But if we kind of peel that back and look at the core of the energy around Aries, fire, or asserting what we might call the right to that element, it's asserting kind of the right to move. And it could be any move, you know, the right to kind of like go out and mark something. And, you know, connected to this topic of protection, it's like when we make a move based on a certain value center, a certain idea, or something that we find to be valuable, and that is an act of protecting it in a certain way by saying that this is, you know, this is like worthy of making a move in the name of fill in the blank. And then I was thinking about the Two of Pentacles card, and you know, this one sometimes gets connected to this idea of like having a lot of stuff that you're carrying and you have to drop something. You know, a lot of visuals of somebody, you know, juggling things and they got to put something down or shed something. And I've been connecting a lot more to this, the meaning of this card and its association with Capricorn and its association with Mars in Capricorn. It's specifically connected to Mars in Capricorn. And this idea of almost like growing bigger, like creating something bigger around something that matters. And I haven't quite worked this one out yet. I think a Two of Pentacles is something, the card I'm really still learning a lot about. But this idea of like, you know, when we put something down in the name of giving attention to something else, like that's an act of like bigging something up or enlarging a part of our lives to sanctify that other action or that other realm, you know. And then with Two of Swords, I think this is the one where maybe we see this the most clearly. We see a lot of visuals of this card with two swords crossing, you know, in the Rider-Waite-Smith, we see it, a person sitting, you know, with a blindfold with the two signs crossing over them. And it really connects to me to Libra as a sign of protection, which I'm really been feeling into more and more lately, like this idea of like the lightsaber of the truth of Libra and the assertion of what can be seen in that moment, the kind of clarity aspect of slicing out the space around what can be seen, and maybe working with this card in that way, because some traditional interpretations of this card are really connected to you know, kind of like dropping back into your channel, kind of cutting down on some external noise. It's almost the card that we then graduate into the Four of Swords with, where we totally like blank out. But for me, like this card has a lot to do with like slicing feedback loops and saying like, actually, I'm like not available to take feedback right now from this. And I think this is a really powerful action that Libra energy can sometimes help us with, because on one level, it is sort of a partnering energy that's reflecting, but it's also an energy that is working along the Aries axis. So knowing when to kind of slice or cut that cord, and that being an act of sort of protecting and sanctifying the inner knowing of self. And then lastly, the Two of Cups, which is the one connected to Cancer energy, and feeling in, you know, we see this card, a lot of representations of it with two lovers or two kind of figures meeting, and really kind of connecting this card into the meeting, those kind of softer parts of self or tender parts of self. And it really actually in this moment is feeling connected to your snack, Sandy, about the 12th house and kind of bringing those kind of sticky bits, you know, into consciousness. And, you know, not that we have to like totally fall in love with them, or, you know, it's like make peace for life or something like that, but something around the sanctification of humanness and the marking out of the parts that maybe we've left out of that circle of protection before. It's like letting one more part in from the storm and giving it shelter inside of us. So that's where I landed with the twos. So go wild with those. You can do some pulls or, you know, just sort of an intention set around those cards and see what might want to be sanctified within you right now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I think, you know, before you go into the hypnosis, if you want, like to pull one of those and just have that energy is like your protection for your subconscious. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about with the 12th house that I forgot was this idea of psychic protection, and how you, I mean, there's a lot of different ideas about this, but I really personally, like on a daily basis, like to do some kind of protection of my own psyche. So, you know, I won't tell you one to do right now, but I had a feeling as you were talking about that just pulling one of these cards that you're talking about might be enough for you today, for you listener today to do. I don't know why. I never thought of that before, but just pulling one of these cards and like thinking about it would be a great little protective act. I like to tell people that if you're going to do like psychic protection type work, to like keep trying different things until you find one that really works for you, because there's so many different types. And I think it's very individual what works and what doesn't. So because the internet is so abundant right now with anything abundant. You want to learn.
That's a good word for it.
You can really just do an internet search for like, you know, psychic protection or something like that, and just try different things that appeal to you, that you trust, that you think sound, you know, like something to try. But do that for yourself today. Do this hypnosis. So I think we've done this type of thing before. This is my favorite technique for tapping into the subconscious, and it's really straightforward. You basically can do it by just closing your eyes and imagining a chalkboard. We did the chalkboard one before, right? Where you write on the chalkboard and you get answers on the chalkboard. Did we do this?
Yeah. I think it was time ago though.
Yeah. So I'll be very descriptive in how I let you know. So backing up a bit, I went too far ahead. So first, you know, do your little protection, pull your card, think about the two's energy that's protecting you, or do some other psychic protection. Take a few deep breaths. You could just imagine yourself surrounded by wonderful, peaceful light energy, you know, protected. And then you can think about, you know, what is it in my life right now that I really need to shift or move? You know, maybe there's some old behavior or pattern. Maybe I've been hypercritical lately. Maybe I have like a fear of rejection. You know, what is it that's going on that I need to let go of? And you don't have to like understand it all right now. Like that's not the goal right now. You don't have to understand like, well, how is this thing that I'm tired of doing protecting me? You don't really need to consciously know, because we're going to really work on the subconscious plane. So it's okay to just have the sense of like, yeah, I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. And then what I want you to do is, imagine a chalkboard. So you have a sense of like, hey, I'm ready to shift this thing. I'm ready to move it. I have an intention for what I want to move. Go ahead, close your eyes and imagine a chalkboard. And I want you to write the word yes on the chalkboard in your mind. And some people are super visual and some people aren't, and that's okay. However you work is totally fine. Just imagine that you're writing this word. And once you get a sense that this word is written, maybe you see it, maybe you hear it, maybe you have just a knowing that it's written, just take note of like what this yes looks like. Is it cursive? Is it, you know, block letters? Is it chalk? Is it dry erase marker on a whiteboard? What is it? And then you can go ahead and erase that yes. And then you can ask your higher self to write the word yes on the chalkboard. And notice that come through. And then you can go ahead and just notice, is it, you know, cursive, block lettering? You know, what does that yes look like? And then you can go ahead and try to erase it. Sometimes you'll be able to, sometimes you won't, because it's your higher self's yes. So if you can't erase it, then you can just ask your higher self to erase that yes. And now go ahead and ask that higher self to connect with a part of you that is responsible for this behavior, that's causing this behavior. And the idea here is that this part of you is trying to protect you in some way, and that's why this behavior is coming up. So just ask your higher self to connect with some part of you And once that your higher self has made that connection, your higher self will write the word yes on the chalkboard and you'll notice that appear. Now, if you don't see it appear, that's okay. You can go ahead and ask your higher self to scan again, to look again, and to just have that yes appear whenever it's ready to. You can take your time with it. Once you've made the connection, you can ask your higher self to help this part release any feelings it might have, to really just have a little moment to get anything off its chest that needs to get off its chest. And once that is done, you'll notice the word yes appear on the chalkboard again. And then you can have your higher self explain to this part that any reason this part had for creating or contributing to this issue, that reason is actually over. It happened in the past and there's no longer any need for that protection. There's no longer any need to continue this behavior, and that this part can take on a new, turn a new leaf, take on a new behavior. It's time to change, and change is okay and safe. And you can ask your higher self if the part understood, wait for the answer to come through. And then you can ask your higher self if the part agrees to change, wait for the answer to come through. If either of these answers is no, and have your higher self explain that, you know, it's just like one day it was raining and you might have needed to carry an umbrella around with you. But then the rain stopped and there was no longer any need for protection. So it's okay to put the umbrella away. So if the part had some behavior going that was protecting you, it's now okay to stop because the rain has stopped and it's time to put the umbrella away. And when you get that yes come through, you can thank your higher self, thank the part of you that was protecting you for so long. And you can go ahead and either have that part become a new helpful part of your life or just reabsorb in just the right way, in a healing way. Thank yourself for all your hard work and count yourself up from 1 to 5 and move along with your day.
Put the umbrella away.
Put the umbrella away. No longer any need.
Oh my.
And so, if any listener wants to do that more in depth with me, that is like a really wonderful process. It can be really nice to do that with a person one-on-one so I can hear how it's going. And if, you know, you need me to walk through your higher self, help your higher self along with that. So if you have a behavior or something that you want to shift, you know, just book a hypnosis session with me and let me know that you want to do this technique that we did in the protection episode. So my website is sandycitron.com.
I'm booking right now, baby. I'm going to massage that Pluto-Saturn situation right out of there.
It's amazing. And you know what's cool about that is, like, you don't even have to tell me what you want to shift. Like, if you want to keep it a secret, doesn't matter. Like, I don't know why anyone would, but like, sometimes you do. I mean, there's, especially protection. If you don't know me, protect yourself. Okay.
All right.
One more thing I want to say about this, because I have 1 minute and 30 seconds left. You know, there might be some things that you need to keep protecting. So that's good. It's not like the goal here with any of this stuff is to like strip away all protections. I don't know who needed to hear that, but a lot of our protections are really, really important to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I think it's exploring all the sort of rainbowed forms and different kinds of skins and how they've grown and why they're here and what they're serving, all that good stuff. So exoskeletons, umbrella pop-ups, sanctifications, psychological compulsions. We've really done it all today. And wherever you are, we hope you are in the hermit crab shell of your choosing or on the move up the drain pipe to a new adventure. And we'll find you again in Leo season, totally exposed.
Bye-bye.